Three keys to Q4 with the Way of the Renaissance Man and number one market analyst, Jim Woods, on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, we have our regular kickoff guest host, Jim Woods, joining me. He is the number one market analyst, according to TipRanks. And he is also the Way of the Renaissance Man. And he's going to bring that incredible body of insight to today's show as we talk about the three keys to the next few quarters here on today's show. So, Jim, welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today.
Thank you very much, Heather. It's a pleasure as always. I always look forward to our quarterly chit chats about all things markets and politics and coronavirus and everything else that's going crazy in the world in 2020.
Well, and I think that you just nailed like a bunch of why things are going so crazy in the world. You got the coronavirus, you got the election, we have all kind of social unrest. Yes. Let's just talk about how things unfolded for the back end of summer as we roll into this final quarter of the year.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting thing in markets. We had kind of a tale of two cities, I call it, in the third quarter. We had the first couple of months that were did really well for markets. Markets saw nothing but really unabated buying. And it was actually a little bit too much. It was too overbought, in my opinion. And that opinion was borne out in September, because in September, we saw the markets take a pretty sharp decline, although it wasn't a horrific decline. The first few weeks of September weren't too good, but then we stabilized. So I'll just give you an idea of the numbers here. So the Dow, for the third quarter, the Dow was up about 8%, and the S&P 500 was also up about 8%. The NASDAQ did a little bit better. It was up 10%. Now, that's for the 3 months, July, August, and September. But as I said, there was some disparity between July and August and versus September. So, for example, from July through the end of August, the Dow was up 11%, S&P up 13%, and the NASDAQ up almost 18%. However, September came and the markets were down. The Dow was down 2.3% in September, S&P 500 down 4% in September, and the NASDAQ down over 5% in September. So when you average it out, it came to the 8% on each, the Dow and S&P, and 10% in the NASDAC. So you think, okay, well, that was a pretty good quarter. And it definitely was. There's no doubt about that. But it wasn't all, steady going for the bulls. So the bears did kind of rear their head there. And there's a number of reasons for that. And then some of those reasons are actually the, as you mentioned, the three keys, I think, for the next few months and maybe well into the first part of 2021.
So what are some considerations that, if this was any other year, but an election year and a virus year, where were we? Like, let's just rewind to the back end or to the beginning of the year. Like, we thought we were going to hit some really big record highs this year, right?
Well, I didn't know if we were going to hit record highs at the beginning of the year. I mean, we saw the markets were in a pretty good shape, but of course, it's always interesting in an election year. There's a lot of uncertainty, and I figured that this year would be as much, if not more, uncertainty on the election front than any other year, just because President Trump certainly is like a figure that in courts controversy, to say the least. But I didn't realize, no one, of course, predicted that come March we would all be in a pandemic lockdown. So, which of course affected everything from the markets to your ability to go get a roll of toilet paper at the grocery store, to the ability to go see a concert and do everything else that everyone likes to do, So it's been a crazy year. Everyone knows that. I'm not saying anything new there, But well, normally you would think the things, what drives markets normally? Well, it's Fed policy, monetary policy, it's fiscal policy, government spending. And most importantly, it's corporate earnings. Mm-hmm. Now, corporate earnings have not been the number one driver of markets because of the whole coronavirus thing. The whole coronavirus thing came about and it kind of knocked everything off a tilt in terms of a normal corporate earnings season. So while, of course, earnings still matter, the earnings picture has been so kind of slanted, it is, especially with specific industries, that it's hard to really, like, you know, play the earnings expectations game these days, which would normally be, you know, if this was a normal year, we would say, okay, one of the keys to, you know, to the fourth quarter would be corporate earnings in the third quarter and outlooks for the fourth quarter and the following year. That's still somewhat important. I'm not discounting the fact that companies need to make sure they deliver on their top and bottom lines, but it's just not one of the things that's driving risk on and risk off trade in the markets right now. So if you'd like, we can get into those, what I think are those three things.
Yeah, but let's do that after the break. You are watching top market analyst Jim Woods on Unlock Your Wealth Today. Stay tuned for more right after this. No time to read the best-selling books for your business or industry? What if I told you could enjoy the best and most meaningful parts of a book in about 12 minutes? Believe me. I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple by helping you learn on the go just like I do with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes with Steve Cunningham and read it for me. Join tens of thousands of leaders around the world, including yours truly, who use Read It For Me to learn the biggest ideas from the world's best leadership, sales, marketing, and personal development books in less than 12 minutes. All you have to do to begin reading best-selling books and enjoying your special rate for Unlock Your Wealth fans is visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme or click on the link somewhere in this post. Learn on the go with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes. Visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme and start your 12-minute reading journey now. Welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, we're chatting with top market analyst and Way of the Renaissance man, Jim Woods, and he's about to share his three keys for the coming financial quarter. Jim, welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today.
Okay, great. Well, now, while some people might argue about the different, you know, kind of weightings that these three factors might have on markets, depending on what happens, I don't think too many people would argue that these three things are some of the major things that markets are watching. Now, the first and most kind of quickest thing that you can say is the election. Now, we're only, like, I think 28 days away, something like that, 27 days from the actual vote. So how the vote turns out is going to determine largely, I believe, what happens with markets in the fourth quarter. And there's a couple different scenarios that I see playing out. As of now, if you want to just go by strictly the opinion polls and also the betting odds, the market is pricing, and also the market is pricing in, and these, all of these polls and all these betting odds, which the betting odds are the preferred metric that I have, because people tend to be more right when they're actually putting their real money involved into the situation.
Right.
So right now, the betting odds, the polls, and even the market are beginning to price in a Democrat victory, a Biden victory, along with a blue wave, which means the Democrats will take control of the Senate as well. And they're going to hold the House, of course. So that means we're going to have a Democrat government across the board. And that means that a couple of things, of course. It means eventually there'll be higher taxes and there'll be more government spending. But here's the thing. The government spending is likely to come fast and furious because one of the things Democrats love to do is spend money.
Yes.
Now, the tax part may come later down the road, but I doubt that a Democrat is going to run in there and say, we need to raise taxes on everybody right away, especially when the economy is still teetering from this pandemic. They're willing to spend money and get money out there to all kinds of different things because that is their kind of base, you know, political philosophy of how to get the government going. It's a Keynesian philosophy that is, you know, proven, I think, to be a faulty one in terms of economics. However, if you're talking strictly the markets like that kind of free money, that crack money, that free Fed money, that free stimulus from both the fiscal side of things, which is Congress, and monetary, which is the Fed. So that's the first potential outcome. So if we do have a Democrat victory, I think it most likely will come with a blue wave. And that will be something I believe markets will not freak out over. I think a lot of people think that if the Democrats win, that somehow the market's going to tank. And I do not believe that's the case. I believe that markets will say, okay, for a couple of reasons. One, we have like a kind of a quote unquote normal person in the office, as opposed to the current occupant, which you may love his abnormality, but there's no doubt that he's not a conventional person when it comes to
politicians.
Whereas Biden is definitely a conventional guy and he's going to do conventional things. And one of the things the Democrats do is they conventionally spend money as fast as they can. So that's the first possible outcome. The second possible outcome of the election is that President Trump wins again. And if he does win, and if especially even if it doesn't really matter if he wins, it doesn't even matter if the Senate is lost to Democrats or if the Republicans hold the Senate. The fact that Trump will be in office will basically guarantee a continuation of what's happened in the last few years in markets. And markets are great with that too. Markets have been doing well. The economy was doing well. Of course, the COVID situation was just an outlier event. And that's going to be relatively over when in terms of an economic impact, probably as soon as, you know, the first part of next year, at least starting to be come to some sort of sense of normalcy, you know, somewhere in the 2021 area. Now, that is another, of course, that's the outcome that is kind of the most, you know, the most like the calmest and the most kind of just status quo outcome if President Trump wins. Now, the third and the most disturbing market potentiality is a contested election a la Bush v. Gore. The only difference between this and a Bush v. Gore would be a lot more tribalism, a lot more social unrest, and potentially a big problem for the society and for the markets, because the markets hate uncertainty. The markets do not want there to be no clarity on who is going to be the next president. They don't want this thing to be fought out in the courts. They don't want it to be like extended in more than like, I mean, I think it's pretty certain we're not going to know exactly who the president is going to be maybe on November 3rd of the night of the 3rd or the 4th, but within a week, as long as we know within about a week, when after they count all these mail-in ballots, and because this year is just different, there's going to be a lot more mail-in voting, and a lot of the key states have, you know, have basically deadlines that extend after the November 3rd deadline. So those are going to be the states. I think it's Michigan and North Carolina. Those two states are going to be kind of, you know, well, actually, I believe it's Ohio and North Carolina, excuse me. But other swing states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, states like that, you have to have the mail-in ballots in to the registrar by the third. So then they start counting them immediately. So that in those cases, you'll know pretty much the next day or the day after that, or maybe even sooner, like you might even know that night who's going to win those key states. But if it's really close and Ohio's a toss up and North Carolina's a toss up and we have to wait 4, 5, 6, 7 days before those ballots are counted, then that's going to cause some angst. But then again, if it's a situation where Biden wins Florida, he wins all like Pennsylvania, all the swing states, and it won't even matter if it's close in Ohio or North Carolina. He'll just have enough electoral college votes to take the presidency. So the way I see it, here's my preference. If you're going to have, I would like to see a clear winner right away, whether it's Trump or whether it's Biden. Those two alternatives are much better than having a contested election that goes into late November, maybe even December. Remember the Bush v. Gore thing? It took till December 11th of that year to figure out who
right
was president. And it was only after several Supreme Court battles. So that is something that I don't want to see happen, because I think that's going to cause a lot of selling. It's going to cause a lot of maybe even some panic selling, some people like really getting fearful about their money, going into gold, going into bonds. So if you're kind of bullish on thinking about gold, that might be a good area to go hide out in. And same with bonds, because those are the traditional safe haven trades. But I don't know. I'm gonna cross that bridge when it comes, because I think that's the least likely of the three outcomes. I think either we'll see a Trump victory, a Biden victory with a blue wave, and or that contested election, which I think is the last of the possibilities. So that's the first. The election is the big kind of prevailing, determinant over the next 3 months or so. But if you're talking about like the other two keys, I think are somewhat related to the election, but not directly. The most pressing of those of the three are the stimulus talks. And the stimulus, by stimulus, I mean the short-term funding of a coronavirus stimulus package. Now, if you've been watching markets, for the last, since mid-September or so, you know that there's been a lot of negotiations back and forth between, say, Secretary Mnuchin and Speaker Pelosi. They've been going back and forth about, going here or there. And they've been getting, every time there's some talks on short-term stimulus, which is something about $1.5 trillion, seems like a lot of money, but these days it does, they throw around trillions of dollars like it's water. But the problem, see, is people want to have their stimulus in the 1.5 kind of area. But President Trump recently tweeted that he didn't want them to continue talking till after the election. So that caused the markets to drop. The tweet came out in the middle of the day too. So markets reacted pretty aggressively. Then later that night he said, well, no, we need to have some stimulus and we want to make a deal on this and that. And targeted areas. So the market went up the next morning really big, up almost mm-hmm. 500 points. And then the next day there was some mixed discussion on stimulus. So how the stimulus talks go and the prospect for stimulus is something that is going to be a real issue for markets, because the markets have jumped up we mentioned the third quarter move higher.
Right.
That was partially due to expectations for more fiscal stimulus. Now, if the market gets disappointed, it's going to start selling off, and that sell-off will reflect the lack of stimulus into the economy. So, and that's a short-term thing that's going to happen. Now, eventually, I do believe we're going to have stimulus, and it's going to be a similar kind of package, probably $1.5 to $2 trillion. And it'll probably happen after the election, because after the election, the stakes are such that it doesn't really matter as much anymore. So, if President Trump's a lame duck, he'll pass it just to say he passed it. And if Biden wins, and if Trump wins, he'll pass and say, hey, look what we're doing for you, So I think it'll get passed somewhat either way, but right now it's politically sensitive. So the politics around it are such that We might not have it for the next few weeks, but the markets have been expecting it. So if the markets get disappointed on that front, markets hate two things. They hate disappointment and they hate uncertainty. So stimulus represents a disappointment and the election represents uncertainty, which is why the markets have, kind of just been bouncing around here. Now, the one thing you could say about markets in 2020 is they've been extremely resilient. And I hope that'll continue because, if you look back to where we were in March and April, you thought this might be another Great Depression in terms of markets, but.
Right. I think there's still a lot of optimism.
Yes.
That's fueling it, especially with, I think it's your third key. Would that be the virus?
Yeah, there you go. That's very good. Yes. The third key. Yes. The third key.
Since you hadn't mentioned it, I was going to go out on a limb and see if I could read your mind.
Well, you successfully did. So the third key, of course, is the kind of grand headline for it is the virus. But the two keys are a vaccine / a game-changing therapeutic, which actually might be in the cards with a company called Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. It's full disclosure, it's a stock that I recommend to my Bullseye Stock Trader subscribers on October 8th. So I'm bullish on that. And that's also happened to be the maker of the antibody therapy that President Trump took that he was, so high on. But that there's a lot more reasons to own Regeneron than just President Trump's experimental, trial with it. The company has a several different anti-inflammatory drugs that have, made it a big earnings powerhouse, and the stock's up almost over 100% this year alone. And that's not just on an anticipation of a antibody cocktail. That's because they make money. So it's a great company. It's a great, I think it's a good timing for our advisors. So that's my free stock pick to all unlock your wealth. Watch viewers right now. So, but here's the thing. If there's disappointment on the vaccine front, that could cause a lot of angst in markets. So the market right now is expecting that there will be at least one vaccine, if not more, approved by the end of the year and begin to start rolling out by the end of the year. And that's going to be a positive, of course, for markets. And then the game-changing things like Regeneron or other, Eli Lilly's got an antibody drug in the works. There's other drugs in the works that are used to control the symptoms of coronavirus and to get people healthier. So those are all going to be a good thing. Like the key to this problem, of course, which is the key to most science, most social problems is reason, is science, and the expression of the mind. So that is going to be a key for not just the third quarter or fourth quarter, but for the first quarter and for the whole of 2021, how well we can control the virus. Now, the other part of the virus thing is it going to start multiplying? Are we going to have more case counts? We're already starting to see more case counts in a lot of areas. In fact, just before we went on the air, there was talk about shutting down certain areas of New York City again, or at least having partial lockdowns in certain boroughs that were showing new coronavirus cases. And there was actually a lot of protests in some of these boroughs. They didn't want that. They've been locked down since early March, and they don't want a return to that. They're just the state and the city is just starting to, get back on its feet, and we don't need any more lockdowns. So if there are a lot more cases in different key areas, and if those cases cause governments to say, hey, we need to shut this area down, shut these restaurants down, shut these gyms back down, these hair salons, all these different things that people do that generate economic activity. If that gets shut down again, that is going to be a serious impediment to any kind of revenue and earnings of a lot of different industries, specifically travel, restaurants, leisure. But just business in general is going to get scared because we've already seen these lockdowns. We thought maybe we had to hold on this thing. And for the most part, we did have a hold on this thing. But if you see key areas flare up, that's going to be another big problem. And it's not like like a vaccine or a therapeutic is going to make people not worry about it or have to, you know, go out and spend right. money when they're not allowed to. So if we see an uptick in cases and we don't get a good news on the science front, that those two are going to be big negatives for the markets, not just in Q4, but into 2021. So, but on the flip side, if the cases go down and the cases are under control and we start developing and the vaccine starts rolling out and people are willing to take it and things are looking better, that is going to be very positive for markets. So how those three keys kind of play out is what's going to determine the fourth quarter and quite possibly the first quarter and maybe even the second quarter of next year.
Well, it's really curious that those are your three keys. And one thing that I've been thinking about this whole time while you've been discussing these three different areas, the one thing that you didn't touch on that's kind of become this area that you speak on regularly is you are on the FANG Stock Friday segment on MarketWatch on the TD Ameritrade Network. And you haven't mentioned anything about technology in our conversation really today. Do you have any thoughts about that before we?
The technology stocks have been where it's at for many, many years now. This year, it's been even more so. Now, there was a little bit of a pullback in September in tech stocks. Some of my favorites are Facebook, Taiwan Semiconductor, Shopify, these Microsoft, Zoom is a great stock. We're on Zoom right now. It's still like these work from home stocks are doing well and rightly so, because they're in the area where they are going to see a lot of revenue. The overarching theme here though is technology is where the innovation is. Technology is where the earnings are. Technology is where all the biggest brains are focusing on. It's the one area of our society that has the game changing kind of, you know, hot things to do. And especially now that we're in a lockdown COVID kind of environment, technology is even going to be more important than ever before. Especially when people are moving, like everyone's doing purchases online. They're doing electronic payments. They're doing cloud storage. Everything, it's an online world now, and that's been accentuated by coronavirus. So the way I see it, it's a trend that cannot be stopped. Now there's gonna be winners and losers in that tech space. You can't just haphazardly buy tech stocks. Although a good case could be made for like an exchange traded fund, like the XLK, the Spider Technology ETF. That's been doing fabulous and leading the way for the last couple of years. And I think it's going to continue to do so. So that's my second free pick for Unlock Your Wealth, XLK.
Yay! We get ETF all of the XLK. Bonus things.
There's a bonus. That's your technology bonus pick for the week.
Excellent. Well, I mean, what an educational and insightful show, and what a great way to start off this final quarter as we roll into the holidays, Corona style, I guess.
That's the case, maybe. Yeah, there's going to be holidays this year. I guess that's.
Well, and, I don't know if anybody's let Santa know, but
those will probably be virtual as well, I think.
So let's schedule our Zoom call for the next Zoom call for December 24th, and we can open presents.
Let's do that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being a part of today's show. We didn't even get to talk about the Renaissance Man, but if folks want to learn more about all of the myriad things you do, how do they find you?
Sure. Well, the easiest way, if you want to talk about more, if you want to dig in deeper into the markets and all things investing, go to jimwoodsinvesting.com. And if you want to delve into the world of the Renaissance Man, all things integration, focus, and celebration, then you go to wayoftherenaissanceman.com and you'll find the podcast there and a lot of great articles. And I encourage everyone to check it out.
Well, thank you again for being a part of today's show. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear, unlockyourwealthtoday.com is here where you can visit Jim's show page, get the links to all of his great resources, and so much more. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.UnlockYourWealthToday.com.